And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show ranges way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back on over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia and Tennessee and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, I tell you what, I got a caller on the line held on during the break, so let me honor his time and grab that real quick. Line one, John Huntsville, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to state that, you know, I knew Nashville was in trouble when, you know, children started being allowed to identify as cats and dogs in the classroom and pushing a petition to use a litter box. You know, in the classroom, the left is poisoning these children's minds. And, you know, the girl that shot up the school, she's probably never been disciplined, probably never had a spanking as a child. You know, and the left is pushing for a ban on assault weapons. How about we, get a grasp on poisoning our children's minds? That's my opinion.
Well, that's not a bad opinion. I mean, I think there's still things to come out about this person, but we can certainly say that she was mentally disturbed, and evidenced by even before the shooting, she apparently would go from identifying as a male to identifying as a female and back and forth. And one report came out a little while ago saying that she was under a doctor's care for some type of emotional disorder, may have even been suicidal in the past. But she's a mess. She's a freaking mess. But I don't know what her background was. I don't know if she had loving parents and there's no controlling it. I have no idea.
I feel all that starts, you know, at the teenage level when you're confused and you don't know if you should be a boy or a girl or a cat or a dog. And eventually you get upset and start doing crazy things.
Well, and that does, yeah. And, you know, one of the things I said the other day on the show is we've got to remember that the best thing you can do for a child is affirm them as who they are when they were born, not affirm them as what you think they should be, and which automatically implies they were a mistake when they were born. Don't do that.
Right.
Remind them, you're the best one of you ever made, and you were born a boy, and that's okay, or you were born a girl, and that's okay. Anyway.
Absolutely.
Hey, John, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Let me jump in here, and I'll go back again. And by the way, we're gonna wind up having, and I don't mind hearing it. And we're gonna talk about some of the sidebar stuff, like what was the deal going on inside this person's head. I don't know all of it. We've gotten glimpses of a few things, but I want to make sure too that I, as much as possible, stay focused on the individuals who were actually killed in this event and the response from the police, because the response, y'all, was everything that should have happened in Uvalde, Texas. I mean, in Uvalde, Texas, they freaking sat out. And I remember trying to defend the Uvalde, Texas police officers at first because I wasn't going to rush to judgment until I had facts. In this case, I'll say this too. When's the last time you saw a school shooting when body cam video was released the next day? I mean, I don't remember it. Boomer, you?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No. I mean, never.
Right.
And one of the best things about that is it clears the air of any potential there that the police could have done more. They could have done more. No, by God, those dudes got on ground.
They literally drove up, got out, got their weapons, ran inside.
It did. It made a dynamic entry and just kept moving. Like the whole time, talking to each other, clearing one room, going to the next room. And then when they heard the shots, you could tell on the body cam footage, they literally ran up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
But so here's, I'll tell you this. I got a piece here from Fox News. The two police officers who fatally shot the suspect of the Covenant School shooting in Nashville have been identified. They are Officer Rex Engelbert and Officer Michael Colazzo, who fired at the 28-year-old Audrey Elizabeth Hale, and fatally wounded her, bringing an end to a shooting that left six victims, including three children, dead. Engelbert is a four-year veteran of the Metro Nashville Police Department, and Officer Colazzo is a nine-year MNPD veteran. And they were only two of several. There were several others already in the hallways, clearing rooms, and then rushing to the point of the gunfire. But those were the two who actually took out the shooter. The interesting thing is, too, And part of this is because they were, I don't know, were they close by? What happened? But they were on the scene. They took, from the time the 911 call was made, it was only 14 minutes until the shooter was disabled. 14 minutes. I mean, I'm sure for those in the school, 14 minutes felt like a lifetime. But 14 minutes, I mean, that's roughly, well, I mean, I tried to give it a half a sitcom. I mean, that's all it takes. You're 14 minutes. That's amazing. It says officers rushed to the campus, made entry, began clearing the building. Shots were heard coming from the second level. It was on the second floor in a common area that a team of officers encountered Hale, where she had been shooting through a window at arriving police cars. So they were receiving fire when they made entry. Two members of an officer's team fired on Hale and fatally wounded her, said Chief Drake of the Metro Nashville Police Force. And then I feel it's important to recognize the names of the individuals. I've already seen some of the pictures on TV, and it's just heartbreaking. Evelyn Dykhouse, William Kinney, and Hallie Scruggs were all age 9 years old. And then employees of the school, Mike Hill, Cynthia Peake, and Catherine Kuntz, were all in their early 60s. There's a lot of living left to be done for each of those. And I'm just, the idea that this could have been much worse needs to be, you know, at the front of our minds. Because these police officers didn't just take down a bad person. They took down someone who could have killed a lot more and had intent to do so. The shooter, went in allegedly armed with two long guns. Magazine-style long guns. I don't call them assault weapons because that's silly. They're magazine-fed long guns and a sidearm. She had a pistol, and then police have already been to her house, or her apartment, or wherever she lived, and they've already discovered apparently two more shotguns. One was a sawed-off shotgun, and they found writings belonging to Hale in a nearby vehicle. So they found her car. And the writings they discovered in the vehicle indicate that this was a calculated and well-planned attack. She had a sketch map of the hallways. She had, I guess, some of her thoughts laid out. And then they also say they found a manifesto. Now, I don't know if we're ever going to see the manifesto. Let me see if I can reach down in my stack here and find an article real quick. I did not have this in the right order for that. But there's already one elected official from Tennessee calling for the manifesto to be released to the public. Now, is that the right thing to do? I don't know. I mean, I got mixed thoughts on this. Would you want to run the risk of inflaming copycats and other members of the disturbed community, you know, whoever else is out there that has thoughts of doing this? Would you want to give them something to rally around? I don't know. But then again, what does that manifesto contain? Does it contain the names of conspirators? Does it contain indications that she planned this with others or had help from others? She's apparently a student at the school in the past. Did she sketch the map from memory? Or does she have, because who knows? Boomer, how old is that school? Do you know?
I'm not too sure, but it is a church.
Okay. That was a school building.
Part of it is I believe it's a church with the school attached to it, and they started doing the
okay,
school
so
with
the,
it.
So mm-hmm. The buildings they were in were a dedicated school building, though.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to. I mean, so my point is, was the school the same as the one she went to 10 years ago, or has there been new construction and she got somebody else to draw her a map? I don't know. What are we going to find out? That could be in that manifesto. So who is this person? And, oh, by the way, you've probably already heard by now. We'll talk about it at some point. It's kind of a sidebar. But the person, the shooter, is a female, biological female, named Audrey Hale, 28 years old, believed to be a former student at the same school. And she shot through a locked door around 10:13 a.m. to gain entry to the school, it says here in the article I've got from Fox. Two assault rifles. Oh, I said it. I didn't mean to say that. I hate it when I read, and I hate that term. That's not a legit... Okay, anyway. All right. Two magazine-fed long guns. How about that? And a handgun. She lives just about 3 miles away. Her LinkedIn profile says that she was in some way a graphic designer who designed logos for businesses. She graduated from an art school with a degree in illustration and graphic design just last year. So, you know, but at the same time, we're also beginning to hear more and more that her being a disturbed individual is not news. It's just not news. And then President Biden came out, which, I mean, the shooting was I mean, you can still smell the smell of gunpowder in the air, I'm sure, when he came out to make comments. By the way, he could not get to a microphone for about a week on the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment, but he was out there calling for gun control within a matter of moments, and it was awkward and it was weird, and I'll tell you about it when we get back from the break. So y'all stay tuned. We'll keep breaking this thing down, and then top of the hour, Matt Murphy, who used to host formerly in Birmingham at Talk 99.5, he's now a Nashville guy at Super Talk 99.7. We'll get his perspective first out the gate at 3 o'clock. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, so President Biden came out right away. I mean, like I said, he didn't even delay. There was no hesitation. Now, he apparently was already scheduled for some other type of presentation, and he had a room full of parents and kids there to celebrate something, I don't know, National Donut Day, I don't know. But the president came out, and it was weird, and it was awkward. I mean, sometimes I just think he's an awkward individual. Like I would think that by now he's probably developed his social skills, you know, all these years of being a retail politician. But it was weird, and it was awkward. Now, on the one hand, I find it offensive. On the other, I think maybe he just didn't know what to do. I mean, I'm not trying to give the guy props here, but maybe he just didn't know what to do. I mean, dude comes out. I can tell you're thinking, Boomer. What are you thinking?
I get it. Maybe he didn't know what to do, but he's the president of the United States.
President of the freaking United States.
I mean, he goes through tough decisions every single day.
Well, you think he does.
We think he does. And he's, you know, he has to make calls like that every single day and talk to people every single day. We think he does. Like, he needs to show a little bit, maybe more respect.
Well, your point's well taken. So if he didn't, yeah, great point. Okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm not protecting him. You're right. This is a bunch of schmutz is what it was. So all right, so the bottom line is this. The president came out. He had a room full of people, and he began joking about ice cream. Okay, children just died. He knows he has to make some public comments. And in a kind of a weird huckster kind of way, he goes, hey, I'm Joe Biden. I'm the husband of Jill Biden. Okay, and you're like, what's going on here? And I came because I heard there was ice cream. And I think what he's trying to do is play up to the kids. Still, you know what? Here's just a thought. Maybe you come out and go, hey, everybody, thank you all for being here. Listen, before we start with what you're here for, and I know this is a touchy subject, but I've got to address something. And I'd like you all to join me in a moment of silence to honor those. And then address the moment. And say, okay, all right, listen, you guys are here for something else. Let me talk to you for a minute. And just move on. But no, he didn't do that. He came out and looked like the first thing out of his mouth was ice cream. And he's doing this kind of creepy smile. And anyway, and then he went straight to gun control. And he made comments that said, the Second Amendment is not absolute. Well, I got news, sir, as far as you're concerned it is, because all you do is enforce the laws. You don't have the luxury of changing the laws. Only Congress can amend the Constitution, and then it has to be ratified, by the way. So the very idea that that's his go-to, we just had three children and three adults killed in a heinous school shooting. We had a highly effective response by local law enforcement, it appears. Maybe address that. And then he gets it all wrong, too. Where's my comment? So Breitbart gave me some insight on his ice cream situation. He launched right into, I call on Congress again to pass my assault weapons ban. It's time we began to make more progress. He's done more, you know, gun control than any president in recent history. But then the post-millennial has this article. Biden uses a Nashville school shooting to push for gun control, and he says, we have to stop. We have to do more to stop gun violence. Okay. If a person wanted to kill kids, they don't have to have a gun to do it. Could have entered that school with a machete. Could have driven through the bus line with their truck. It's not the gun that did it. It's the sick individual that did it. But then he even says, you know, the shooter in the situation had, and I'm using his term, had two assault weapons and a pistol, two AK-47s. They weren't AKs. If he just would stop trying to find a way to address his agenda, he might quit blurting out the wrong things. I've already seen pictures of the weapons. They're AR-style platforms, all right? Anyway. He later added that families dealing with school shooting was just like in the military when my son was in Iraq for a year. What? No. Now, you know, God rest his soul, your son was a JAG officer who I'm pretty sure didn't go out into the front lines and didn't venture out to dangerous places too often. Now, asymmetric warfare is still asymmetric warfare. Maybe it was dangerous where he was. But nonetheless, what's that got to do with the fact that innocent children who were not combatants were just killed in a school? But he has this constant need to identify with his audience, and a lot of times he blows it. Well, townhall.com has an interesting piece that I cannot help but recognize here. It says, why the Nashville Christian school shooting is about to disappear from the news cycle. Yeah, so the author of this article says basically that anti-gun... And by the way, I forgot this part. Boomer, I don't know if you saw this, but at the first press briefing by the chief of police, post-shooting, at the first press briefing, about the time the police chief walked away from the microphone because they were done, an anti-gun activist rushed over and grabbed the microphone and turned it into her own press conference, screaming about gun control and how that was so necessary. Yeah.
Oh, I did not see that.
Anti-gun activists hijacked a press conference on the incident earlier today. This was written yesterday. The Biden White House began pushing the usual talking points about banning so-called assault weapons, echoed by their allies on the gun control issue. There's a manifesto. There's maps of potential targets. A hate crime cannot be ruled out. The lingering question will remain unresolved since a transgender mass shooter is one story the media is going to likely avoid like the plague. So as specifically at the press conference, the chief of police was asked if the shooter's so-called identity could have factored into the motive. The response, there is some theory to that. We're investigating all the leads. The weapons were legally obtained. There's no black market. There's no ghost guns. There was a legal purchase. Meanwhile, think about the last few shootings we have. The shooter at Michigan State and East High School in Uvalde were black. This one was transgender. The author says the shelf life on this heinous school shooting is not going to get past the week for reasons that we can already imagine. It doesn't fit the narrative. And I saw our friend Yaffe at WVN up in Huntsville. He tweeted out, he says, when there was a mass shooting at a gay nightclub, the media and the political leaders made a point to condemn violence against gays. When there's a shooting at a black church or in a grocery store in a mostly black neighborhood, they made a point to condemn violence against blacks. When there was a mass shooting in an Asian community, they made a point to condemn violence against Asians. We'll see now if they make a point to condemn violence against Christians. Well said, Yaff. Well said. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. Matt Murphy from Supertalk 99.7 in Nashville is going to be on the air with us, giving us some localized perspective. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.